And we're going to go to God in prayer as we begin here tonight and just trust the Lord that He'll be here, that He'll help us. I know we're all on this journey of life. And I think many of us note how fast it goes. It just, you know, January no sooner starts and here we are in the middle of the month and, you know, it's going to seem like moments later we're going to be at the end. And so the months go and then the years and wow. Life is really something. It moves quickly, but the things that we do for God are the only things that are going to matter when we stand before Him. So I'm hoping tonight that we can glean from God's Word and that we can all grow in His grace and in His knowledge and, oh, to be like Him, learn to be more like Jesus, grow to be more like Him and put Him on. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, Your grace, Your long-suffering, Your gentleness, Your kindness. Oh, Lord, we thank You, God, for there's none like You at all, Lord. God, we know that, oh, Lord, You are the potter. We're but clay, Lord. God, we have our limitations, but, Lord, help us, Lord, to reach out in faith tonight. Help us to realize, God, that with You we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us, Lord. God, help us to realize that possibilities, oh Lord, with You, impossibilities rather, can become possibilities, Lord. You can reach out Your hand to do things that seem so strange and far out to us, God. But Lord, You are here. You are the Creator. You are God. You are our Savior. Oh God, You are the one that made us. And God, I pray, oh God, that You would work in our hearts, that You would mold and shape us, make us, Lord. Help us to be like You, Jesus. Help us to grow in Your grace and in Your knowledge, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You put faith in our hearts tonight. Oh Lord, that every hindering spirit would go, everything that would try to, oh God, be negative and be damaging and be provoking, Lord. We put it down in Jesus' name, asking You to be here, Lord. Oh God, to take charge. Oh Lord, to be with this word. We thank You in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. We're going to turn, first of all, to Luke, the 17th chapter. Read a couple verses here from that 17th chapter of Luke. And the message that I have here tonight, I'm going to title it, Faith as a Grain of Mustard Seed. Faith as a grain of mustard seed. So let's go to this portion of scripture here in Luke 17 to begin here. Oh my, we need faith like never before. We need faith, and I just pray that God will work in our hearts. We all need faith. Let's go to that verse there, the fifth verse here of Luke 17. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And now let's turn over to the 17th chapter of Matthew. And this is similar. Luke talks about a sycamine tree, which is actually like a black mulberry. It has fruit like blackberries, actually. But let's also read from the 17th chapter of Matthew. And here with chapter 17, let's go to verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise the Lord. This is talking about faith. Faith as a mustard seed. Let's just consider a mustard seed for a moment. It's known as a very tiny seed. It's known for its minuteness. And it's
an annual seed, one that you have to plant every year. It doesn't live over as a perennial does, but it grows very fast in good soil. It may become 10 to 12 feet in that season and have branches so abundant and full that they could attract birds. But yet this plant that grows so rapidly and becomes quite large has a tiny, tiny seed, just a tiny little seed. But look what it becomes. It's amazing, isn't it? That's how the Lord made it. And here he's using this to portray faith here. He's saying, if you just have a tiny little bit of faith, just a grain of mustard seed, as I said, it's known to be very minute. It's a tiny little seed. But Jesus is saying, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise the Lord. That's faith in action. Actually, literally talking to that mountain in faith, just a little bit of faith, and asking God to remove it to another spot. And Jesus said it should happen. It would happen. It shall happen. And he said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Oh my, praise the Lord. Our God can do all things. But isn't it wonderful? He's given his people something called faith. Faith to reach out. Faith to believe God. I feel like we're living in a time period when faith is extremely attacked. It just seems like it's harder than ever to get people to have faith. I hear a lot of negative things a lot of times. I hear people saying things, well, that's the way it's going to be forever. I'm on this medication and it's going to be like this forever. I've had people write to me and declare things like that, or say it to me on the phone or in conversation, and you know, just because the doctor said it's going to be like that forever, is that faith? Who's the doctor anyway? I don't think he's God. But it's so easy to put your faith in man and what man declares. And people are into this thing called easy religion and just believe and it shall be, you know, or just, you know, take it easy and, you know, glean a little part of the Word of God and that's all that you need, and forget about the whole council, and don't study hard, you know, let the preacher do all the digging, and, you know, listen to him, he probably is going to get you to heaven, right? But wow, I think we all need faith, and we all need to dig into God's Word. We all need something deeper than what man comes up with. We need God, and we need his words, and we need faith. But yet here in these United States of America, it just seems like faith has been largely attacked. And so often we talk about that scripture there from Luke, the 18th chapter, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And sometimes I do wonder from the things over here, but we need faith. For one thing, we have to have faith. And of course, turning to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we get an easy definition of faith. We could go there to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I think you all probably know this portion of Scripture, but let's just review it, because I know, wow, we can be forgetful as human beings, and it seems like we need the Word of God over and over and over again. But here we are in Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1, and here's the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So here, we're talking about something. People would consider it a belief or something that you reach out to, but here in the Word of God, it makes it a solid noun. It's a substance. It's a thing that has somewhat of a shape or form, because when a heart has faith, it's believing for things that are not seen. As it continues, the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith, you're reaching out for something that isn't visible. But by faith, you believe it, and you know it, and you expect it, and it's in your heart. And of course, this chapter continues. It says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. It was necessary. They had to have faith in order to have a good report. And then verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Oh, what an amazing thing when God called this world into existence and he said, let there be. And there it was, whatever he called, there it was. And it wasn't because there were things there. He formed the elements. And from that, he formed everything that is in existence. He made it all by speaking it forth. And there was nothing. The earth was without form and void. And the Lord spoke in the midst of that nothingness and said, let there be light. But that was our God. Those worlds were framed by the word of God. And so that because he spoke it, there they were. And they're not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord, he made it out of nothing. And it's, here we are on this earth, and what is it hanging by? It's hanging because God had it hang. He put it into existence, and he had it rotate as it does, and he had it go around the other planets as it does, and the sun, and all of that. Because that's the way he designed it. That's the way he ordained it. And that's the way it is, therefore. But that's faith. Faith has substance. It's something that's tangible, in other words. Something that you can grab onto. But it's something that a Christian has to have. If you look at that sixth verse here in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's just a bit in this verse. First of all, without faith, there is no way you can please God. You just can't do it without faith. Because if you're going to come to God, first of all, you've got to believe that God is, that he exists, that he is. And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To be diligent is to do it with all your heart, to make a good effort into whatever you're seeking. And God is saying here in his word that if we're to come to him, and certainly we know that he calls us into that relationship with him, but first of all, we have to believe that he is. And that takes faith. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How really beautiful. If we cry out to the Lord with all of our heart, if we diligently seek him, he can be found of us. He comes to us. He honors that. And that's faith in action. When we allow the Lord to deal with us, to talk to us, and when he gives us that faith in our heart. But you have to have that faith in order to please God. Without it, there's no way you could ever begin to please God. And we know that those that walk by faith are the ones that please God. Let's also go to Romans, the first chapter here. If you look at the 16th verse, Paul was writing here. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you're godly, if you're righteous, if you're just, you're going to live by faith. It's just a fact. It's very essential. And this also is found in the Old Testament, a prophetic scripture. If you would, turn to Habakkuk. And going to the second chapter there. Habakkuk and the second chapter in verse 4. And here it is. It says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." So there it is, just stated in a little different wordage here. He's talking about the prideful soul. That's not going to be upright. There's no faith in that kind of pride. But there are people that humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, people that take on the righteousness of the Lord, and they, it says, the just shall live by his faith. Of course, we know that it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, really, that he gives to us. And then it's so there in Romans, the first chapter, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And those people that he gives it to, it brings out his righteousness. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Praise the Lord. So that's the way of it with God's people. They're going to live by faith. They're going to walk in faith. They're going to believe God for things that even seem impossible. The word faith actually is very prevalent in the New Testament, but it's only found twice in the Old Testament. I thought that was really interesting. Of course, we read that verse there from Habakkuk. And the only other place it is, it's in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and it's talking about a people that did not have faith. Of course, that's the other side of it. There are people that please the Lord because they have faith. And as we read there in Hebrews, the 11th chapters, it was by faith that the elders received a good report. It was the only way they could have a good report. We know when they were getting ready to go into the promised land and Moses sent out the spies, we know that 10 out of the 12 spies came back with a bad report. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith that they could enter in. They saw giants. And it scared them, and they didn't believe that God was able to help them fight the giants. Only Caleb and Joshua realized that God would be with them. God could help them fight the giants. They were the only ones with faith. And that lack of faith on the part of those other 10 caused them all to be hindered, so they could not enter into the promised land except the younger generation. But that's how essential faith is. The elders only could receive a good report by having faith and trusting in the Lord. And as I said, the others were hindered by the lack of it. You know, the lack of faith prevents God from moving. It prevents God from doing miracles. And Jesus himself exposed that lack of faith when he was on earth. Let's look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, for a moment here. Matthew 11. And here he is. He's done all these mighty works in the 11th chapter of Matthew and other places here in the scripture. But there were problems because in spite of all the wonderful works that he did, there were a lot of people that did not have faith, that did not embrace what he had done, did not acknowledge it. So here he is in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 20. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Wow, that's really something. Chorazin, this is in Galilee. We can look at this map here. Here's Capernaum and Chorazin. And here they are. They're part of Galilee. And here he's saying, if the mighty works that were done in those two cities had been done here in Tyre and Sidon, that they would have repented long ago. And so in spite of what God had done in front of those people, those mighty works, they still didn't repent. And then it continues here in the 23rd verse, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Oh my, those were terrible words, really, to hear. God looked at their unbelief very severely, obviously, and he had done many mighty works in Capernaum. And he said, wow, if they had been done in Sodom, Sodom would have remained. He wouldn't have judged it if those works had been done, which had been done in Capernaum. So therefore, he said, it's going to be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee, talking about Capernaum, this land here. Right here is Capernaum. So God requires faith. He requires faith. And another place that had great trouble believing God was his hometown, Nazareth. Let's just turn to Mark the 6th chapter for a moment. Mark the 6th chapter. Let's start with the first verse here and read a little bit. It says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And here's their unbelief. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They couldn't believe it. To them, he was just a man. He was just a carpenter, the son of Mary. And then they named his brothers, some of his brothers, and mentioned his sisters. And why? He's just one of them. They had no faith, in other words. And verse 4 states, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And these are the consequence of that lack of faith there. It says in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. My, what a sad thing. They could have seen mighty works of God if they would only have had faith. But again, as I said, faith is essential to please God. And they didn't have it there in that area of Nazareth, his home area, his hometown. The people didn't have faith. Here's Nazareth, in that part of Galilee. And therefore, he couldn't do mighty works there, save just a few little things, and that was all that was possible because of lack of faith. Now there's another element of faith that I want us to consider. Faith needs work. It needs works that follow it. It doesn't stand alone. Works follow faith. And I see that again and again in the miracles that Jesus did. But let's just catch a few portions of Scripture as we go into this train of thought here. Let's go to Ephesians, first of all, the second chapter. And a very familiar portion of Scripture here, the 8th verse to begin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So many people go to that eighth verse, and it's an extremely important verse. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." And then, of course, that next verse, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." In other words, there's no way our own works could ever bring us to Christ. It's His grace, His unmerited favor that He gave to us, and it's through faith. As it states here, it's not of ourselves. There's nothing we could have ever done to obtain salvation on our own. But because He has reached out, His grace has come to us, we become His workmanship. If you look at that 10th verse here, and we are created in Christ Jesus, we become new creatures in Christ. All things become new. We become His creation. And it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we can't be saved by our own works, but because we come to the Lord Jesus and He comes into our life and changes us, we become His workmanship. And those good works follow us. They just follow us because we're His. Jesus went about doing good when He was on earth. And likewise, if we're His children, if we're following after Him, if our goal is to be like Him, then those good works will follow us also. We're going to walk in those good works. So that's faith in action, works following faith. Let's also go to James, the second chapter. And here I'm going to start with the 14th verse and go through some of this portion of Scripture here. Verse 14 of James 2. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So here we have just a really simple example here of the necessity of faith. And, you know, if someone comes to us or it's apparent that they don't have sufficient clothing or they don't have food, and we just say, "Well, so be it, go in peace," and do nothing to help them, well, then there's no profit in that. We haven't helped them. There's no substance to our faith if that's the way it's been. There's no works that followed. So as verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Doesn't avail. Doesn't have substance. Then verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So again, those works will follow faith. Verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" He's really emphasizing it. James is really emphasizing it in the second chapter. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Oh, we talked about that story, I believe, last week when we were talking about worship, how Abraham worshiped there as he was bringing Isaac, and his willingness to do that, that supreme test in Abraham's life. But it wouldn't have been enough just to think it. You know, think about that possibility and kind of go through the motions in your mind. If he wouldn't have taken all those steps, it was a journey. He had to prepare for it. He had to bring wood. He had to bring his son. He had to do all those things that were required. And it was a journey. He had to go to the place that the Lord had laid out for him to go, Mount Moriah. And if he would have just thought it and not have done it, then it would have been nothing. It would not have mattered at all. And a lot of times people have good intentions, things in their heart that they want to do. But what good is that? Is that going to be when we stand before God? Well, Lord, I had good intentions of coming before you. Well, Lord, I was going to do that. I was going to help that man across the street. Oh, Lord, I was going to witness to that person. I had good intentions, Lord. It was in my heart to do that. But where are the works? Where are the works? It says, oh, vain man. Don't you know that faith without works is dead? Abraham had to have works that followed his faith. Otherwise, his faith would have been without substance. And then verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. That's what made his faith perfect. It was that work that was completed through that faith. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I know I admire Abraham so much. You know, a man that was called out of the land of Ur, of Chaldea there, a land of idolatry, I'm certain. And he got up and left all when God called him, told him to leave that land of his birth, that land where his kindred had lived and were living, I am sure. And he obeyed because there was something in his heart. He put faith to action. He got up and left. God was calling him to leave. And he had enough respect and love for the Lord to obey God. He had something called faith. And he did exactly what God asked him to do. And because he believed God, it was regarded as righteousness for him. It was given to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God because of his submission to the Lord, because of his obedience. He was called the friend of God. What a wonderful compliment to be God's friend. We know he's our friend, but when he considers us his friend, oh, that's even more significant, I think. Praise the Lord for that. But that was Abraham because he had faith and he put it to work and did what God asked him to do. In verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And then he goes on to talk about Rahab. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that's such a story of Rahab. The spies had been sent out before Jericho was conquered there, and there were two of them, and they came obviously to the abode where Rahab lived, and she helped them. And there came a knock on her door, and you know, they had some kind of realization that these men from that were Israelites had come to Rahab, and they were spying out the land. And they came to Rahab, therefore, and said, where are those men? Where are those spies? And, well, you know, hand them over to us. And Rahab had something in her heart called faith. She had something called faith. It was a mighty thing. They had noticed what God had already done through the Israelites. Let's go to Joshua. I just want to point out some beautiful things about Rahab's faith. It's just really something. So, yes, the men came to her, the men there of Jericho, and they wanted her to give up the man, but she hid them. She hid them on top of her roof and then told them to pursue otherwise. And they did. But this is what she said. If we look at the second chapter of Joshua, And verse 9, this is what she said to the man. And she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And this is, wow, she realized all this. She realized that there was a mighty God that was with these people. And she realized that he was Lord of lords and God of gods, obviously, that there was none other. She had faith. God gave this woman faith. And then she asked in verse 12, Now therefore I pray ye, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. I love that faith. And it was not only just for herself, but it was for all her loved ones. And here she's requesting by faith that they would spare her because of how she helped them. She's asking them to spare her. And verse 14 tells us, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she told them what to do. She said unto them in verse 16, Get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the man said unto her, We will be blameless of thine oath, of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Verse 21. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. That scarlet line that helped the men to escape would help her and her family and all those that would gather together there in the household. And if they would stay within that house, they would be saved. They would be saved. But that was her faith. And that's exactly what happened when they compassed the land of Jericho, the walls of Jericho and all, and when they walked around those walls and did all of that, Rahab was saved and all that were in her house. Just glancing at the 6th chapter of Joshua, verse 25, it says, And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So that represents the faith of Rahab. That's what she did. She had faith to believe God. And wow, it reaped wonderful rewards. She became part of the Israelites. And the Lord used her even into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. She had a part. It was a miracle, but because of her faith, the Lord honored it. And because of her works that followed it. And so likewise, we have that reference here in the 2nd chapter of James, the verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We have to have works to go with faith. Otherwise, it is dead. It is dead. I'm going to go to a few places in the New Testament to give some examples of faith. I think there are many places that I could go, but I'm just going to use a few references here tonight. We could go to Mark again, to the 5th chapter. And last week, as I was talking about worship, I emphasized Jairus and his great faith, that ruler of the synagogue. They came to Jesus with faith, beseeching the Lord that he would come and heal his little daughter who was at the point of death. Of course, the Lord was going forward to do that. He was going to that home to pray for that little girl. She was 12 years old. But here it is, during that procession to that home, there was a woman who had faith. And verse 25 tells us of that woman here in Mark, the 5th chapter. It says in verse 25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" She showed faith. This woman not only thought it, but she went through the efforts. I don't know how hard this was. There was a throng of people around Jesus. Oh my, I don't know how many people she might have had to bump or crawl under, or whatever, all she had to do. But there was a determination within this woman. She had faith. She just believed in her heart, if I can just but touch that hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be healed. She had something so precious in her heart to realize that just if I could just do something to show my faith, I will be healed. And it was a beautiful thing. The Lord had respect unto her faith. And in spite of all the people bumping him and close at hand behind him and on the sides and in front of him and all, Jesus realized that there was somebody with faith. He could feel that virtue that came out of his body when that faith was realized, when that faith was put to action. And it says in verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." She could tell. She was healed. She felt that. And Jesus knew it too. It says in verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saying, sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." She worshipped him, didn't she? She fell down before him. She didn't know what he was going to say. She'd only done what was in her heart. But the Lord said unto her, Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Praise the Lord, she was healed. That faith was respected. The Lord saw her works, and it was honored. Praise the Lord, she was healed. She went in faith. She went away in peace and whole of that plague. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's also go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And I did go here last week also, but this story just shows such a remarkable faith put to action that I just want to repeat it here again this week. Let's look at Matthew, the 15th chapter, and we're going to go to the 22nd verse. And here it is. She's not even a Jew. She's not an Israelite woman at all. It tells us in that 22nd verse, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And, you know, here she is. She's got faith. She's crying out. And she knows who Jesus is. It's so precious. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't acknowledge him. As a whole, most of them didn't recognize him as the Son of David, as the Son of God. But here she is, this woman from Canaan, a Gentile woman, asking for help. But at first, Jesus didn't respond. He didn't respond. He answered her not a word, it says in verse 23. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Obviously, in spite of the fact he didn't answer her, she kept on crying. She kept on crying out, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus responded. He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent for you. I'm not sent to you, woman." But then, we brought this out last week, then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And again, Jesus, he just kind of was laid back, and he just gave time here for her faith to be fully realized. Verse 26, but he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." He was testing her faith. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Oh, she didn't have any pride. She wasn't esteeming herself to be anyone great at all. But yet she had this faith. "Truth, Lord, what you said is right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Oh, Lord, even if I'm a dog, I'm crying out to you in faith. Even if I'm nothing at all, I'm not an Israelite, I'm not a Jewish people, I'm not a Jewish person, I'm not one of your own, but Lord, even so, there's something in my heart that cries out to you in faith. And now Jesus responded. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise the Lord. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. So she showed her faith, and the Son of God responded, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And then her daughter was healed that very hour. Praise the Lord. He answered her prayer. He saw her faith. She passed that test. How wonderful. Let's also go to the 8th chapter of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 8. And here we're going to go to the 5th verse here. And here it is. Jesus is in Capernaum. And as a whole, the people didn't respond very well in Capernaum. But here's a man that did have faith. And here it tells us in verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." And here's the centurion. He's answering and he said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof." See, there's no pride in him either. "But speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Praise the Lord. Here he was. He was a centurion. He was a Roman. He was a Roman officer, and here he is showing faith and coming before the Lord and speaking things of faith in such a great extent, to such a great extent that Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled at his faith. And wow, what a response, verily, of a truth. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel, not among my own people, not among the Jews. I didn't find this kind of faith among them. But here it was. He was a centurion, a man who had authority, but he had faith, and he showed it. And the Son of God responded, Jesus responded, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Praise the Lord, that faith was realized. It was honored. There was a work that followed it. It was his words that showed that great faith. He just believed it. Jesus just spoke the words. You don't have to come, Lord. If you just say it, it will be done. He had that in his heart. He had that faith that God gave him, and it was honored. And the Lord healed that servant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I know truly we all need faith. We've got to have faith to please God. As I said, without faith it's impossible to please God. We can't even come to Him without faith. We have to realize who He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him in order to come to God. But the Lord wants His people to walk in faith. And of course, we've got to show works if we're going to have faith. And I was just pondering some things in our past as a church and in my personal life. I sometimes think of the time, I think it was early 2000s, when I had a gallbladder attack I was really pretty sick. I was really very sick, actually, and it was a gradual process that the Lord healed me. I know initially it was horrendous pain in that area, and the Lord did take that away, actually, rather quickly. A pastor prayed for me, and it that really horrendous pain left. But I wasn't healed yet. I wasn't completely healed by any means, and there was this uneasy feeling in that gallbladder area and that discomfort and this dull pain almost continuously. And I also had jaundice. I was very yellow. And a couple of my girls noticed that and made mention of that. And this one morning, I was awake and got up and didn't feel good at all. And I considered just going back to bed and forgetting it. But the Lord gave me faith that day. He put something in my heart called faith. And I said, no, I'm not going to go back to bed. I'm just going to get up and I'm going to do my work and I'm just going to believe God that He's going to help me. And it was an amazing day. At first, you know, I didn't notice any significant differences, but as the day went on, I, of course, I was a homeschool mom, and I was upstairs with Becky, and we were going through some things together, and she looked at me and said, Mom, you're really yellow. Don't you think you should go see a doctor? And, you know, I just said, well, Becky, I guess if I utterly have to. I'll go see a doctor, but I'm wanting the Lord to heal me. I'm expecting the Lord to do something for me. And it was an amazing thing, because right after I said those few words, that dull pain left. It left. I felt it go. And I knew that the Lord had touched me. Somehow He had seen faith in me, and He had honored that. And that went away. It went away. And the Lord healed me of that gallbladder condition. There was a chiropractor in town that had helped me somewhat. He had been tending me, and he realized that I was having a gallbladder dysfunction. And he had said that, you know, because my back would not straighten out. And he tried to adjust me, and it wouldn't stay, and he knew what I was going through. And the thing is, after the Lord touched me, and then I went on a fast, he looked at me and he said, "It's a miracle. You're better. It's gone." And the Lord healed me. He did this work. He healed me so that I was restored. I didn't have to go to the doctor. I didn't have to have my gallbladder taken out or any of those things that possibly could have happened to me. The Lord saw faith. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the Lord took me through that. I know it was His work and His wonderful ability. But He put something in my heart called faith, and He gave me that opportunity to show my faith. And, oh, wow, there were other times. I remember a vacation that we went on, and we were just starting down the road. I think we were leaving. It was a Sunday. It was after church, and we didn't get very far. It seemed like, maybe just to Waupun or something. And we were going, I suppose, to Door County, and suddenly the van just stopped, and here we were wanting to go on this trip and great desire to do so, and the van just quit, and I think we tried to make a few phone calls. Somehow I think we managed to pull over, and I believe we had a cell phone and tried to make a few calls. Well, it was Sunday, and there really was no place that we could go at that moment to have that van looked at. There was nobody that we knew that we could call. But we knew a God that could help us, and we prayed. We prayed and asked the Lord to help us. And you know what? That van started, and it was fine until we were able to get help with mechanical help with that condition. So the Lord heard us. He answered our prayer and intervened, and we were able to go on that trip. We were able to go on that vacation, but we knew the Lord had been there, and when we put faith to action by praying and trusting Him, He did a miracle so that van could continue on that trip. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And just, so many other times. I know, my dad, he was in his early 80s and he had been pretty healthy up until that time. And all at once he got really sick. And he was in the hospital and wasn't able to make it up there when he was in the hospital. But shortly thereafter, when he got back home, we all went up there just to see my dad. And I can remember how sick he looked. He looked really sick. They said he had congestive heart failure. And, it didn't really sound all that hopeful for my dad, but I knew a God who could help. I knew a God who could heal. And I just remember just looking at my dad and just he was breathing so heavily. He looked so frail. And, I was so worried that he might not live long, and sure wasn't willing to give my dad up yet. And I remember that night I was staying at the house there with my mom and dad, and I remember probably not sleeping very much that night, but I can remember crying out to the Lord there in that bedroom and just asking, pleading the Lord to heal my dad. And it was an amazing thing, because the next morning when I looked at my dad, his breathing was way better, very noticeably better. And you know what? They never said after that he had congestive heart failure. The Lord healed my dad. The Lord healed my daddy. And we had him for several more years after that. And I'm just so thankful. But we serve a God who can do all manner of things. And I've seen Him do many things for all of us here. I think, wow, Barb, it seems like right after you were pretty new in the church, didn't you have Lyme's disease? And I just remember you coming up here and asking for prayer, and I just remember that the Lord touched you, and that test came out negative after that. And that was the Lord. He did that miracle for you, and how it was so faith-building. It was so wonderful to hear that. And Oh, boy, Diane, it just seems like, didn't you have an arm situation? Did the doctors say that you weren't going to be able to raise your arm properly after that? And praise the Lord healed Diane, and she can move her arms just fine. Praise the Lord, our God is so good. And I think, Brother Tim, a lot of times, I remember a couple times he came over to the office, and obviously his back was out or something was really, really wrong, his neck or something, and he was limping, and, you know, I thought, well, oh boy, you better not work today, but couldn't keep Tim down. He just went out there and worked anyway, and it was an amazing thing. He was putting faith to the test. He was showing his works, and you know what? Saw him a little later, and he was really pretty good. He wasn't limping like he had at the beginning. It's a marvelous thing when we can show faith, when we can put faith to work, you know, when we can just respond to what God puts in our heart. It's not enough just to think, I've got faith. You've got to show your faith, as they did here in the New Testament when Jesus went about doing good. He was looking for people with faith. He couldn't do much in his own hometown. They didn't have faith. They wouldn't respond. They wouldn't believe the good works that he was capable of doing. They didn't have faith. And therefore, he could hardly do nothing there. But I'll tell you what, there are people, if there are people that can cry out and believe God, that can have faith, God can do great and wonderful things. God can heal. He can save. Oh my, he can deliver. He can do all kinds of things if we'll only trust him, if we'll only put our faith in God. You know, it was in December, when just before that big snowstorm, it was a day they were predicting all that snow, and God, it was kind of some marvelous things that day. We all kind of anticipated that snow. They were forecasting it, and it sounded like we were going to have quite a bit of it, and I remember we didn't know who was going to do snow removal, and we just managed, Tim knew of a man that did snow removal, and we got in contact with him, and it seemed like, you know, it would be agreeable. And so we got that taken care of, and boy, just after that it started to snow. But then we had church that night, and we didn't quite know what to do. We were thinking, is it going to snow heavily, and you know, maybe we can't make it, or maybe we should cancel. And I know I was talking to the girls, and Brother Tim and I were contemplating, and we didn't quite know what to do, but we decided to have church. Because it really hadn't really started snowing anyway heavily. They, you know, were forecasting it, of course, and we figured it was coming. But we had church, and there were only a few of us there. I think Brother Gordon was. I think he came in and amazed us, and Jane and Anna were there, and just a very few of us. But it was an amazing thing because God allowed us to have service that night. And the thing was, it didn't start to really heavily snow until after we were done. It was amazing. Just as we were leaving, as we were saying our goodbyes, it was starting to snow. I thought, there's God showing us that, you know, he's in charge. And if we'll just put our trust in him, you know, all things will be well. You know, he can delay the snow. He can give us that ability to drive in the snow and to take care of us. And you know, just do all manner of things if that faith is there. But I thought it was a lesson that the Lord was teaching us to put our faith in God and to let him do the work and let him keep us just having that confidence that, you know, if we came to church, that he was going to get us home, and, you know, that he was going to direct that whole thing. But I just thought that was so amazing. We did have quite a bit of snow. We had, I think, 12.5 inches of snow. It was a pretty good snowstorm. Pretty good. But, you know, anyway, the Lord really helped us out. I just marveled. And I'm so glad we had that service, that the Lord gave us that faith to go forward with the service. And I just felt like he was maybe testing us, but also He was instructing us to and guiding and directing us. But we have to have faith. You know, the scripture talks about how the kingdom of God suffers violence since the time of John the Baptist. Until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, Jesus said. And then he said, the violent take it by force. In other words, God's people have something called faith. Even though something may seem silly, ridiculous to other people, God's people have something called faith. And we can go against the odds. If we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be done, the scripture says. If we have faith, if we can just stand behind God's word and have faith. Amen. He expects it. He expects his people to have faith. I know it just seems like life is a continual lesson to learn. I know just before Brother Chung came here, I was having trouble with my left knee, and it was swollen, and it was really quite painful. I was having some trouble walking, and I can remember that one day Brother Tim and Chung and myself, we went to Milwaukee, and we ended up doing a bit of walking. And I considered skipping out of that, but no, God put something called faith in my heart, and I just figured, well, God, if you gave me an assignment, if this is what you want me to do, then you're going to give me the ability to do it. And it was amazing. As I was walking, it just seemed like my knee got better. It just got better. You know, we walk by faith. These are steps of faith. And here it was literally walking by faith. And the Lord helped me. And boy, my knee got better. It really did. It was an amazing thing. God has really helped me with that knee. But he expects us to show faith. Something so precious as faith, something so simple that he compared it to a little minute seed, a little grain of a mustard seed, a tiny little seed. If we could just muster a little bit of faith, God can do great and wonderful things, but he expects it of his people. If we don't have faith, we can't please God. Let's go to 1 John. First John, and we'll look at the fifth chapter here. Verse 4 here. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith, the victory that overcometh the world. That's our faith. In other words, we can rise above any circumstance that would be in front of us if we have faith. Amen. We can overcome the world if we have faith. That is the victory that overcometh the world. Our faith, something so simple as faith. Let's also go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And here we are in the... Okay, let's go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, rather. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and here it talks about the armor of God. And of course, all those parts to the armor are extremely important. But if you look at verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Wow, I love that verse. If you take that shield of faith, and it says above all, it's so significant. It's so important to have faith, that shield of faith. And with that shield, it says ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So everything that the devil would try to throw at us can be quenched by faith. That little grain of a mustard seed. Faith that the Lord puts in our heart. That ability to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Every single one, if we have faith. Praise the Lord. As I get ready to close here tonight, Just a few more things to consider, but I do also remember the story of this dear woman in Clintonville. Her name was Sister Whitman, and I knew her also, and she was really dear. But one thing you got to know, if you knew Sister Whitman, is that she had faith. And she had this story, and this is a true story. She was in the hospital, and she was going to have a surgery, and I am not positive what it was. It might have been a gallbladder removal or something like that. It was some common type of surgery. And of course, this is quite a few years ago, but she was in the hospital and they were going to do it that day. But she was talking to the Lord, and possibly it was even during the night that the Lord laid his hand upon her. She felt this warm hand on that area of her body, and she knew God had touched her. And when they came in that next morning, she requested that they again take x-rays, because she said, God has healed me. And you know, they did. They took x-rays, and everything was cleared. It was healed. The Lord had touched her, and she was healed. Praise the Lord. They're just waiting in the hospital. The Lord touched Sister Whitman and healed her. I remember another situation, another woman in Clintonville, Sister Turner, and she was in the hospital too. She had a serious heart condition, and she was somewhat younger and all, but, you know, she had been ill for a while. And I remember one day, I had a headache that day, and I actually was in bed. It was a migraine headache. But as I was in bed, I remember praying for this woman. It just seemed like it came to me to pray for her. And it was an amazing thing. I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I know this woman, this Sister Turner, and she was a pastor's wife. I know she has this heart condition, and it must be so severe and hard for her. And God, I'm asking you to heal her. And you know what? It was an amazing thing, because the Lord healed her. The Lord healed her of that heart condition, and she was able to go forth and not have a serious surgery at that point at all. The Lord touched her. But it's such a beautiful thing when the Lord puts faith in our heart. If we only will respond and show our faith, the Lord will honor it. There is nothing impossible for them that believe. As Jesus said unto them, he said, they asked him, why could we not cast him out? Speaking of those devils that were in that child. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Oh, faith is a wonderful thing. If the Lord has given us faith, what a wonderful blessing, because we can reach out, we can be saved, we can touch God, we can see healings, we can see deliverances, we can see people saved. We'll only have faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And as Jesus asked, He challenged us there in the 18th chapter of Luke. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Again, our faith is challenged today, but yet we have a God who has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And what he did before when he was on earth, he can do yet today. If only there would be a people that can respond in faith and reach out and touch God, and not just believe the doctor's verdicts and not just go by that and you know, read all those negative things and fear for the worse. God is looking for a people that have faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Oh my, we need faith to please God. In just one more portion of scripture, Hebrews the 10th chapter, going to the very end of it, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. we keep that faith that the Lord puts in our heart. We have to nourish it. We have to let it grow in our heart. No way can we draw back. We have no time to backslide and forget the good things of God. God would have no pleasure in us, therefore, but the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Let's respond in faith. Let's show our faith. Let's ask God for faith. Faith like we've never had before. Faith to do the impossible. Amen.